What is up and welcome into Uncovering Success. My name is Brady Slaybaugh. If you haven't had a chance yet, go subscribe to the podcast. Give me a like on Spotify and a rate as well. So today, I have the pleasure of learning from one of my best friends, Matt Benson. Matt and I met several years ago staffing summer workshops for a nonprofit that was working with high school kids. And since then, we've had the pleasure of building that relationship, and I've personally been able to learn and grow over the years from Matt. Matt is a 23-year-old CEO and founder of an esports startup called eFuse. He had the chance to intern at a venture capital firm in Columbus after graduation and was able to begin working on eFuse right away. Let's get into today's pod.
You don't set out to build a wall. You don't say, I'm going to build the biggest, baddest, greatest wall that's ever been built. You don't start there. You say, I'm going to lay this brick as perfectly as a brick can be laid. There will not be one brick on the face of the earth that's going to be laid better than this brick that I'm going to lay in this next 10 minutes. Yeah. And you do that every single day.
And soon you have a wall.
And soon you have a wall.
All right, y'all. So I am so incredibly excited for today. I've got the honor of interviewing one of my best friends. This is the first time I've kind of had the chance to interview someone that I'm really close with. So today we're going to be getting a lot of good nuggets. I know my guest today is Matt Benson. He's currently a pioneer of the esports world, and I'm really looking forward to diving into that and a little bit about his story and some insight from him today. So welcome, Matt.
Thanks for having me, sir, but the pleasure is all mine. I can't wait.
We'll see about that.
Fact.
So, Matt, one of the things I really admire about you is that you're never afraid of a challenge. If there's an opportunity in front of you, you're always going to take it and say yes to it, and you're going to figure it out after that. You're going to put in the work while it's there, and then you're going to take that opportunity every time. So talk a little bit about that mindset that you've had and maybe where it came from and then how you've incorporated that into your current venture.
Yeah, I mean, we've been super fortunate that I've had a lot of great people around me that have helped get through that. But I think part of it, too, is you've got to take the leap of faith in order to see what's at the end of the road, really. So for me, it's always been about why fear failure? Who knows how long we're going to live? Who really cares what other people think? It's about taking the first leap of faith and you figure it out on the way down. One of my favorite quotes is from Reid Hoffman, the founder of LinkedIn. He says you build the airplane on the way down. So you jump first, mm-hmm. and then you figure out how to fly there after. So, and the startup world in my life, that's kind of how I treat it, is you got to take the leap of faith and you'll figure it out as you go and hopefully put the right people around you to make it happen.
Absolutely. So how have you brought that into where you're at now? Speak a little bit about eFuse, the company you're with and you started right now, and then kind of how that mindset has helped you take off.
Yeah, so eFuse is a LinkedIn of esports and gaming, so that's why I like Reid Hoffman so much. But essentially what we do is we allow gamers to come onto our site, build out their portfolio, which is essentially their digital resume. So they put their game stats on there, they put their highlight clips, they put their experience, and then they use that portfolio or that resume to apply to different types of opportunities. Those could be things like scholarships, jobs, tournaments, team openings, all that good stuff. And most people don't even know that those exist in gaming, but there are full ride scholarships. There are full-time, well-paying jobs. There's all kinds of tournaments where you can win millions of dollars. So it's a real thing. But we started to do that, and it's been really good. But early on, when I jumped ship from my day job to found it, it was scary. I didn't know anything, to be frank. Didn't know how to raise money. Didn't know how to put a team together. Really didn't know how to lead people at that level. But it's one of those things where I was super fortunate to just have great mentors around me. And day by day, win by win, you kind of stack them, and eventually you start putting it together, putting the pieces together, and we've been super fortunate to have some good success with it.
Absolutely. And like, just so everyone's clear, this isn't like, hey, come be the best Call of Duty player in the world. It's all these different games that someone's finally putting it onto one platform and giving everyone a chance to see, hey, here's my stats from Call of Duty, here's my stats from NBA 2K, all these different worlds coming together. But it's also not just about the gaming side of it, right?
Yeah, this is all about people being discovered. When you really narrow it down, it's how do you help talent whose passion happens to be gaming how do you help them find opportunities to take their passion and turn it to profession? So whether that's scholarships, whether that's a job, our whole bit is helping you showcase who you are, showcase your skills, whether it's in a game, whether it's creating content, and helping you take that passion and find something that allows it to be your profession.
Yeah, I mean, that's awesome. And I think a lot of people right now might be sitting at home and saying, hey, yeah, this is cool. This guy's done. He's done this his whole life. Maybe he's had the experience there. But, I mean, you're a 23-year-old CEO of an esports startup. What kind of challenges did you have to overcome right away, especially with the age? And like you kind of talked about, maybe some inexperience at the start. What has that been like, and how have you overcome those challenges?
Yeah, I think when you zoom out and talk about my journey, I mean, I grew up in Southern Ohio, you know this, but don't come from a family of entrepreneurs. My family were attorneys, they had very different backgrounds on both sides, but it was never really something that we ever talked about. We didn't talk about starting businesses or anything like that. So I was kind of the odd man out when I very early on knew that I wanted to build my own thing. I didn't necessarily know what that was going to be, but I knew that I wanted to do my own thing. So growing up, I had this ambition to create something that a lot of people used. And it just so happened that I grew up playing games. I loved playing games. I wasn't any damn good, but I loved it. And I played with friends casually. But then when I went to school, I also had an opportunity to do research on the esports and gaming community. And then from that, developed this idea for EFU. So it kind of fell into place in a lot of ways, but had to take the leap at some point. But you talk about jumping ship and not knowing what you're doing, that was genuinely the case. I had no idea. We had to raise millions of dollars to get this thing off the ground. We had to recruit a team of really intelligent, high-level talent to come and actually build this. I can't code. I'm not an engineer. I have no idea how to put these pieces together. I have a vision. I know how to communicate, but that's about it. So how do you go and build a team? How do you go and fundraise? Those are the two biggest questions I had to answer early on. So again, I take it back to mentors. I had a boss where I actually worked at a venture capital firm for 2 years who kind of showed me the ropes. Hey, this is what I care about as a venture capitalist. This is how you should sell me. This is how I think about it. Was able to go raise $2.3 million. And then from that, we went and we recruited the best of the best. And we had a lot of people that said no. A lot of people don't have the tolerance to go and work in a startup. But we were able to get some really solid people with some extreme talent and build a great team. But the reality is every single day, like, I'm learning things. There's a lot that I still don't know.
Yeah.
Being a younger CEO it's both good and bad. A lot of people are like, okay, you're doing something early. Like, it must mean you have some ambition. You have some drive. You want to get to the next level. But then you have other people who are probably a little older, and the older demographic that will push back on that and say, okay, you need to put the time in. You need to go get a corporate job, then jump ship. But for me, it's like, I'm not going to be happy in that. And I learn best by doing. So even if I fail and fall flat on my face, I know I'm going to be happier. I know I'm going to learn more. And the result of the risk I'm taking at this young age is much more bearable. The risk is much more bearable now. And the result is much greater. So no better time than the present.
That's awesome. So what can you kind of say to someone maybe that grew up in a small town and either went to college and came back home, or they're kind of at that point right now in their life where they don't really know what's next, but they've decided that they want to change their mindset. They want to look for bigger and better, but they're not sure how. Where does that mindset come from? Because I know for me, I mean, I grew up in a small town, and until you kind of get out of there and see a little bit bigger and start to want a little bit bigger, it's difficult to come by. So where does that kind of come from, and how did you kind of get that? And what would be your advice, I guess?
Yeah, I think the word that comes to mind when you're describing that really is perspective. And it's having conversations, it's reading books, it's going to different locations, listening to podcasts. It's all about, how do I get a better understanding of the world outside of my home? Mm-hmm. I mean, I grew up in Chillicothe, really. I mean, I was fortunate that we traveled a decent amount state to state, but never been out of the country until about a year ago. I mean, it was in large part, I was reading books, I was listening to podcasts, I was watching documentaries, and that was my way in which I got the different perspectives. But I think that's so important, because not only do you learn that the world's much bigger than your small community, but more broadly than that, if you want to build a product or be a part of a company that serves the world, you have to understand the world and the different nuances that exist within that. So my recommendation is, even if you can't travel, like, You can read books that have very different perspectives in it. You can watch movies, documentaries, Netflix,
YouTube, podcasts, all that kind of stuff.
It's never been easier to learn and experience new cultures. You just got to put the time and the effort in.
Definitely. That's awesome. And I feel like for a lot of people, I know for me, I mean, I believe that God's got a vision laid out for us, and we don't know what that looks like maybe down the road. And right now we're at the point, I know especially for me right now, I'm at the point where it's like, what does that big vision look like for me? And I want that. And I'm a kind of guy that, like, I want to know what I got to do to get there. And then I'm going to work as hard as I possibly can. And I'm going to get there earlier than everyone else. So for me, at the point where I'm at right now, is it's all about learning and going through the processes. In this venture with eFuse, what was that like at the start for you? Because maybe your ambition isn't as big as it was now, or you haven't, or you've kind of opened that box now of that. So what was that like at the start in kind of staying true to that vision and just grinding and working hard, especially for the first year or so?
Yeah, I think it's in the first year, we didn't even have a product launched. I was struggling to raise money. It took me 6 months to raise any money. But the reality is I was just super fortunate that one person had told me that, you have to have the long-term vision. Like, you have to see where you want to go. You have to have that North Star. But the reality is you can't get there in a day. You can't conquer Rome in a day. You know what I mean? So it's about stacking small wins and coming to work every single day and, like, thinking, having the mindset, what am I going to do today that is going to get me one step closer to that future? And then having the faith and belief that you're putting in the time, you're putting in the effort. And for me, I also am a Christ follower, and I believe that there is a broader vision and a broader reality that is to come. But you've got to put in that time, that effort, and have that belief, and ultimately it'll sort of formulate itself.
So what was it kind of like coming into an industry that you didn't really know much about? And especially in your industry, I'm kind of curious as to how you feel about this question. So how important is it to generate buzz or get, like, some media hype before you release something? And whether it's for you in the esports world, I'm curious to hear how that is, but also how that might be different for someone in the regular business world of selling a product. Because it used to be, we got to do billboards, we got to get on radio, but now I feel like there might be a cheaper way, especially with social media and kind of viral marketing, maybe paid ads, whatever it is. What has that been like for you?
Yeah, so when I think of growth more broadly, eFuse is fortunate. We've got hundreds of thousands of people using the site now in less than a year. We're generating some significant revenue. But the pieces of the puzzle that really came together were, one, you have to add value. Like, if you don't add value, you can get people there, but they're not going to come back. And then secondly is you have to be an elite storyteller. So even early on, when you didn't have all the functionalities, you didn't have the best looking product, mm-hmm. you bring people in, you build a relationship, and you sell them on the dream. And then you deliver on the dream. So a lot of it's just storytelling and then providing value on the back end and then additional storytelling. So when we first started, we told this grand vision of, we're going to be the LinkedIn of esports. In reality, we had a way for you to build out a resume. We had a place mm-hmm. where it was basically a job board. We had that and a resume. And now we've got all these additional functionalities, but that has only happened in the last 2 to 3 months. So you tell the story early on of the broad vision, you continue to execute and show value, and then you continue to tell the story and stay true to who you are and what you care about and value the relationships you build along the way. That's what's been successful for us.
And I think it's really important. One of the books I just recently read was called The Lean Startup. And it talks about how, as you build that startup, you have to be flexible enough to, when you see there's money to be made in a certain area or a way to generate more people, you got to be able to move and pivot towards that different direction quickly. Because I know for you, with eFuse, it doesn't look like what your plan was on day one. How have you had to kind of make those adjustments along the way?
Yeah, it's a great point. I think two of my favorite words are ambiguity and adaptability. There's a lot you do not know in a startup. There's a lot you don't know in life, but you have to be willing to sift through the gray, sift through the BS, and find the reality. But then further than that, you've got to, like, to your point, you've got to be able to adapt and add value and build elite products, elite services, whatever. A great example for us is we set out to build this LinkedIn of esports, right? But as we went along, there came up an opportunity where a large influencer who this large influencer was very well connected. So you probably recognize the name of Ninja or Dr. Disrespect. I mean, these are the biggest gamers in the world. this influencer came to us and said, hey, I want to build a tournament platform and I'm launching the tournament next week. Can you do it? And he said, we'll host it on eFuse. They'll all have to create accounts to watch it. And I look at my CTO. My CTO is shaking his head. Absolutely not. Zero chance. We're not doing it. And I have to say, I'm like, man, that's going to be hard to do. Our guys and gals are not going to be able to sleep. But if we get this done, it's going to be an incredible story. And it panned out that not only have we gotten hundreds of thousands of people from that single product that we built, which we call Arena as our white label tournament service, but further than that, it's actually become a major revenue generator for us. So that was a feature set that came out of nowhere. We had a week to build it, and it was you can either do it, or if you don't, I'm going to go on to somebody else. But you had this opportunity to essentially build this feature in one single short breath, or you lose out on this opportunity. We did it. It panned out greatly, and we were super fortunate to have some great success that came from it.
That's really cool, because that kind of takes us back to the beginning and what I was talking about with how you're never afraid of a challenge. And when you kind of get that opportunity in front of you, you're going to say yes, and then you're going to figure it out after. And it's kind of cool that that was what has been maybe the biggest thing for you that's helped. So with those influencers and stuff, and you talk about generating buzz on social media, one of the ways you do that is by getting in with influencers and meeting some cool people. Who for you has kind of been the coolest to meet and get to know, and how has that gone?
Yeah, I've been fortunate to meet some really cool people. And I think one thing that I learned really, so the first quote unquote celebrity or like famous person I really met was Braxton Miller, Ohio State legend, Heisman quarterback
candidate.
Greatest spin move of all time. But what really surprised me is how down to earth he was and how much human character he really had as a person. And from that kind of standpoint forward, I realized that Braxton's a tremendous athlete, but at the end of the day, he's a real person. He's a real dude, and he's a great dude. And that kind of gave me the humility and calmed my nerves and going and having bigger conversations. So you end up meeting Seth Curry or Zeke Elliott, whomever, Jason Dolley. You meet some of these massive actors. You meet all the guys at Barstool who are really these celebrity figures. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, they've kind of just become normal people, and I built really great relationships with them. So it's hard to put a finger on that one. If I had to choose one, I'd probably say Zeke, just because he's got such a big brand. He's such an elite athlete and such an Ohio State legend. Being Ohio State fans, that was a pretty cool one.
That's cool, and it's kind of cool to see how normal people have become in our day kind of the celebrities. You've seen it with Barstool, and you've seen it with the way they go about. And I think that kind of applies to eFuse as well, because you're bringing those quote-unquote normal people on the platform. Those people that have been gamers, they game in high school with their friends. Maybe they got really good, and now they got to go to college. They got to get a business degree and work in the corporate world. But there's an opportunity now where they can get a college scholarship. They can go into the world of esports afterwards because of what you've built.
Yeah, I mean, we're hoping to launch the next celebrity, right? We want to launch the next influencer on the streaming side. We want to launch the next pro athlete, pro gamer. And to be able to provide those opportunities is really humbling. And that's what gets me excited and gets me out of bed every morning. You can make all the money in the world. You can create the site that has a lot of traction. But the reality is, if you're not providing value, if you're not changing somebody's life, it's just not worth it. So that bringing that value has been the most impactful and the most exciting for me.
That's sweet. So let's kind of take a step back now, maybe get away from eFuse and talk about kind of some things that you've learned as a leader and what it takes to be a good leader. What are maybe one of your one or two points that you would tell someone that says, hey, I'm a 23-year-old leader, CEO, I'm too young, I don't have much experience. What kind of advice would you give for them?
Yeah, I think there's two that come to mind immediately. One is value relationships over transactions. A lot of people will go to somebody when they need something. Very few people will follow up and be a part of and build a relationship with that individual. So whether it is the celebrity, whether it is just the average user on our site, whether it's my friends, whether it's my family, whomever, learning to value the relationship and not be a person of transactions, that's going to go so much further. And it really makes me so much happier and makes them feel a true connection. And that's been super valuable. So employees, family, partners, whomever, build relationships, not transactions. And then the second thing kind of goes into that too, but realize that every single person is different. Everybody has something different that makes them tick. Everybody has different backgrounds, different socioeconomic statuses, different problems, different passions. And you've got to be willing to invest in them, understand who they are, so you can kind of turn the knob, steer the wheel, whatever ref or analogy you want to use, to get them to do what you want them to do and or get them to be their very best. So for me, that was a huge learning curve. I have a very diverse team in many regards, but understanding how they work, what makes them happy, what makes them tick, those have been the things that have been huge unlocks for the success of our business and the success of them as people.
That's really cool, because I feel like I've been able to kind of see that firsthand with you. And I know you're an unbelievably hard worker. I mean, even tonight we were going to record this podcast at 5 and you text me at 4:30 and said you haven't eaten in 26 hours. So we had to go get dinner first.
That's just stupidity. That's not
no, that's called hard work. But for you, how do you kind of go about maybe one, keeping in touch with those people? Because I know for you, you schedule out every part of your day. I'm like, hey, Matt, let's go grab a drink tonight. All right, send me a Google calendar invite, okay? But how do you kind of schedule out that? And then do you schedule out maybe time for yourself or time to do certain things that are outside of the business world?
Yeah, so I do schedule blocks for myself, whether that's eating a meal or like just doing email or setting aside. I set aside one day a week for like 4 hours in the afternoon where all I do is brainstorm and kind of have time to be creative. But those blocks for me are super helpful, because one of the things that's also become more and more prevalent as the business has grown and we've hired more people, I have so many messages, so many Slack messages, emails that are coming in constantly. It's very easy to go boom, boom, boom all over the place. But in reality, I need to be able to focus in. So setting aside time to, okay, for the next 30 minutes, all I'm going to do is email. For the next hour, I'm going to eat. For the next hour, I'm going to work out. And the reality is I'm not great at that all the time. Like, there are times where I'm like, you know what? Screw that 30 minutes. Yeah. I got to do this, or I want to do this. And I don't do email, or I don't go eat, or I don't work out. That's probably the hardest one for me right now. But the reality is that helps me a lot time in my day and gives me a framework of priority, which is super important.
Who would you say has been kind of one of your biggest mentors, so to say, but on a bigger scale, like the Steve Jobs, Bob Iger? Who have you kind of, I know you read a lot, maybe a biography you've read or kind of stuff you've learned about them that's helped you?
Yeah, I've got a lot of different advisory councils in my own life with people that I'm close with. As far as people that I aspired to be growing up, I had a lot of interest in Steve Jobs. As I've grown older, that's become less and less, but I'm absolutely fascinated with how he thought creatively, how he thought about changing the world, how he was able to get, whether you agree with his practices or not, he was able to get the very best out of people. Mm-hmm. That was inspiring to me. And I love that so many people cared about a product that he made. Millions of people were caring about the product that he made. And that was encapsulating for me. Beyond that though,
I'll even say too, with Steve Jobs, the story's unbelievable, because you take a guy that built what he built and then gets fired because his vision was too great. They weren't selling enough of his vision. So he says, screw you, I'm gonna go make my own vision, my own equipment and process. And then because of it, he starts disrupting their market, and so they bring him back. And to see that vision that he had early on come into place is really cool.
100%. I think one other thing that fascinated me about him too is like, he's like me in the sense that he didn't have any engineering skill. Mm-hmm. He might have picked a few things up along the way, but the reality is Steve Wozniak was the one that was doing all the hard stuff on the back end. Yes, Steve was selling. Yes, Steve was providing vision, customer feedback, hiring the right people, but he wasn't doing the actual building of the product, which is fascinating to me. How do you get somebody else to do all of that and get the most out of them while still building a tremendous company? It's incredible. So that was inspiring for me too. The other one I have a lot of respect for and I read about was Abraham Lincoln, believe it or not.
Ooh.
It's going to be the name of my first kid, Lincoln Jeffrey.
Nice. You got to make sure the wife's okay with that first.
We'll see.
What's kind of fascinated you about Abraham Lincoln?
For his time, how transcendent he was, how accepting he was, and how he was willing to sort of go through hell and scrutiny, which was much less than some other people at the time, but still go through a lot of scrutiny for a really key decision that was tremendously valuable and just for our country. I admire his patriotism. I admire his perseverance. I admire his ability to just kind of block out the naysayers and do his own thing. And he comes from humble beginnings too. So that was also really interesting.
I feel like there's a lot of people throughout history that in their time, because they were so transcendent and had such big visions, that were very disliked in their time. But now, as we look back on them in our history books and stuff, they're like a hero. Everyone loves them because they changed whatever market or whatever they were doing. And I feel like for us, that's a hard thing to comprehend in the moment of all that negativity coming your way. And that's kind of something that comes with success as well. Because if you don't have haters, you're not doing something right.
Yeah, I think one of the most freeing things for me, and it goes back to our faith, is I'm not playing the short game. I'm playing the long game, and I don't really care what happens in this life. Like, to be frank, I love what I do. I love adding value. I love bringing people up alongside me or being alongside somebody and building something great. But the reality is if somebody doesn't agree with me at this point in my life, I'm fortunate that I don't care. Like, mm-hmm. I'm going to do what makes me happy. I'm going to do what I think is right. And I'm playing the long game.
Absolutely. So I know me and you both are big learners, and we like to do that on a daily basis. And for me, I mean, my favorite book, Start With Why by Simon Sinek, unbelievable book. And I think that's really the reason I like that book so much is because I like people so much. And I like to learn about their why and what makes them go, what makes them tick. What's maybe a book that you have that you can give us that's kind of transcended the way you think, or something to get people our age to go read?
Yeah, if you're looking to be an entrepreneur, one of my favorites here recently was the Bob Iger book, which I think you mm-hmm. you just read a little while ago. But it's called The Ride of a Lifetime. Is that right?
Yeah.
Ride of a Lifetime. So Bob was the CEO of the Walt Disney Company, had some other cool stories about his, not necessarily upbringing, but his professional career. And one thing I thought was really interesting, and it was really good for me at the time, is how he talked about his team, how he led his team in these different jobs. And one of the biggest pieces that I took away from it was the best way to get people to do work is to provide clarity in their work. Where are they going? What are they doing? And giving them the tools and the knowledge to be able to go and execute. Because if you hire elite people, you've got to give them an elite vision so they can do an elite job. So that was just one tidbit of learning I took away. But it was a great story about kind of coming from middle-class family to being the CEO of the Walt Disney Company, all the trials, tribulations, and you also got some inside look into the business know-how through acquisitions, through the development of Disney. It was really interesting.
That's really interesting because I feel like a lot of people don't realize that maybe the Steve Jobs and the Jeff Bezos of the world aren't the smartest engineers in the world. They don't know how to do all the coding for late nights. They're not the people that were doing that. But what they did was they put the right people in place. They gave the right vision to get people behind. And when you give someone that vision of they know why they're doing it or they see the bigger picture, they're the ones that are willing to stay up late nights and do that while you go out and find the next great talent.
100%. And it's a lot of it's hiring really great talent, but it's also about retaining them. And then in the worst case is you hire the wrong person, you got to get rid of them. Mm-hmm. You got to move extremely quick on all of those fields. So I've learned a lot in doing that and reading about other people, but the reality is you can't do it alone. And the sooner you realize that, the better off you'll be. You got to find the right people to be elite and to build an elite company.
Absolutely. That's so great. And I feel like you've given us a lot of tidbits and nuggets today that honestly maybe should be paid for eventually.
I don't know.
But kind of to take us out, what final question here do you feel like success is? In the general term of the word, for you and your life, when you look back, what is it going to mean to be successful?
Two words, happiness and utility. How much happiness do I have as a person? How much happiness was I able to bring to others? And then how much utility did I provide to this life? Meaning, did I utilize my abilities to the very best and provide as much value as I possibly can to the humans around me? That's what makes me happy, but that's also what I kind of measure myself against. I'm willing to do whatever it takes to do those two things.
Absolutely. That's sweet. I thank you for letting me use your offices today. It's been cool to kind of to see you throughout these last couple of years and where you started and where you've gone and to be kind of along for that ride. And I feel like, too, maybe in a year or so, we might have to do another episode talking about where you're at then.
I'm all about it. Anytime you'll have me, I'm here.
Let's do it. All right, Matt. Thank you. Boom.
So you just heard my interview with Matt. I'm sure you were able to take a few things away today, as I know I was and am every time I talk with Matt. So this Wednesday night, Matt and I are going to be going live on Instagram. So if you have any questions, I'm sure Matt would love to answer them. Bring them, come hang out with us for a little bit. Again, if you haven't yet, go follow and subscribe to the podcast. And if you would be so kind to please leave a review as well. And thank you for coming along on this journey with me of uncovering success.